Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Tuesday, September 13, 2016. President Kiir's spokesman reacts to the Enough Project report accusing Mr. Kiir and other leaders of enriching themselves during the conflict.
The Sentry report is a political report because it contains a lot of nonsensical conclusions about the corruption in South Sudan. And it can only be used as a recipe for regime change.
And Yei state officials say families are starving in Lanya County.
The county is now cut off from the state headquarters for the last 2 months. There was no movement of commercial vehicles and no market working. And people were dependent on the market. So the whole population are completely out of food.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. President Salva Kiir's spokesman has dismissed the findings of a new report by the Washington-based advocacy group, the Enough Project, accusing Mr. Kiir and former first vice president Riek Machar of amassing huge amount of wealth as most South Sudanese go hungry. Ateng Wek Ateng calls the report, quote, baseless, and Machar's spokesman says Mr. Machar has no property outside the country. Michael Atit has more on the story for VOA from Juba.
The report released by the Sentry is an initiative of the Enough Project, Not On Our Watch, a non-profit base in Washington and Center for Advanced Defense. The findings of the report mention names of the families and top associates of President Kiir and former Vice President Riek Machar, who own multi-million dollar properties, drive luxury cars, and stay at expensive hotels as a majority of South Sudanese suffer. President Kiir's spokesman, Ateng Wek Ateng, called the Sentry report's, quote, rubbish and a lie. Ateng says the report is meant to implicate President Salva Kiir's leadership.
The Sentry report is a political report because it contains a lot of nonsensical conclusions about the corruption in South Sudan. And it can only be used as a recipe for regime change, for those who are running behind to change the regime, because the report looked like it is designed to confuse the people of South Sudan and even to make people of South Sudan incapable of even knowing who has really squandered their money.
The presidential spokesman says the report is designed to tarnish what he calls the good image of President Kiir and his army generals. Ateng denies allegation in the report that Mr. Kiir and some of his top general, including SPLA Chief of Staff Paul Malong, used the conflict to make money. Ateng also rubbished the allegations that President Kiir also uses state resources to provide luxurious life for his family members. Ateng says Mr. Kiir's legal advisors are examining the report.
The office of the president has now given the report to the legal teams who will be studying it, and they will advise accordingly. And most probably, they will advise for a legal challenge to the report. We will hire a legal firm in the United States of America to pursue this in a court of law.
The report, based on the 2-year investigation, also says former Vice President Machar owns luxury house in Ethiopian capital Addis Ababa and the Kenyan capital Nairobi. James Gadet is Machar's spokesman. He says Machar neither owns a house in Nairobi nor Addis Ababa.
He was accommodated during the peace talks by the authorities in Ethiopia, so he does not own that house. For the report to come out and implicate him about that particular house in Addis is not true, because he is not. It is not his property. He does not own it. He has not bought it. He was simply accommodated.
Gadet admits that the former vice president was renting a luxury house in Nairobi.
His family should not be expected to rent a house in a slum area in Nairobi, because the family of vice president should live in a decent place, a secure place. And this is what happened in Nairobi.
Gadet says Machar's family have moved out the Nairobi house, whose picture appeared in the report, because, he says, Mr. Machar has no money to pay for its rent. Gadet, however, praised the Enough Project for releasing the report. He says the findings in the report can be used against individuals who have committed crimes against the nation.
It's commendable because this can be used as future reference for cases like this, once things are settled and people who have committed such crimes, whether economic crimes or war crimes or crimes against humanity, can be brought to justice.
The report is the first of its kind that appears to draw a direct connection between public corruption and the ongoing armed conflict in the country. For VOA News, I am Michael Atit in Juba.
Waki Simon Wudu in Juba contributed to this report. Authorities in Lanya County are appealing to aid agencies to provide humanitarian assistance to thousands of families trapped in remote villages due to recent fighting between government forces and unknown armed group. Lanya County Commissioner Agustino Kiri claims more than 60 displaced people, including 40 children, have died of starvation and poor living conditions in the past 2 months. Tito Justin has this report for VOA from Juba.
County Commissioner Kiri says at least 30,000 civilians have been displaced following recent fighting in Lanya County. Kiri says soldiers from the South Sudan Army and unknown group looted food stores and markets during the fighting. He says many displaced families are escaping from Lanya because of hunger and lack of health services. Kiri says hundreds of families have sought refuge in nearby bushes and are surviving on wild fruits.
The humanitarian situation has affected the whole county because the county is now cut off from the state headquarters for the last 2 months. There was no movement of commercial vehicles and no market working, and people were dependent on the market. So the whole population are completely out of food and other essential services like medicine and non-food items.
He says both the government and aid agencies are unable to provide services due to the insecurity. Schools in the area remain closed as teachers and students have fled to the bush. Kiri says he has received reports of people dying on a daily basis due to the dire humanitarian conditions.
They are lacking drugs and there is no access of taking drugs. It has been since July, it has been raining every day. You know, this causes pneumonia and other diseases like malaria because people are sleeping in the open without mosquito nets. And yes, vulnerable groups like the small children and the elderly ones die because of diseases like pneumonia. Yeah, there are cases of death and they are increasing daily.
UN Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs, OCHA, assessed the needs of displaced people in neighboring Yei County last week but were unable to reach Lanya County due to insecurity. OCHA's communication officer in Juba, Gumar Pau Sol, says humanitarian aid workers are unable to deliver the much-needed help to families in Lanya County.
In Lanya, because of insecurity, we haven't been able to go there. So there are no humanitarian organizations on the ground. So as soon as the security improves, yes, the humanitarians will want to go and then provide assistance if...
The Bishop of the Episcopal Church of Sudan and South Sudan Lanya Diocese, Eliaba Laku, is calling for an emergency humanitarian response in the area. Bishop Eliaba says the recent fighting between South Sudan Army and unknown armed youth has disrupted the lives of farmers in Lanya.
If we continue like this, the situation may drag us again to a fresh war. So let the government allow NGOs and other forces to come in and even see. Since in July until today, no any official government people came and visited the area.
Bishop Eliaba says civilians are too scared to return home because of the presence of South Sudan Army in Lanya. Fighting in Lanya started since last year after armed men attacked government soldiers in Unduruba, one of villages in the county. For VOA News, I am Tito Justin in Juba.
The UN's Food and Agriculture Organization is warning about what it calls South Sudan's deepening food crisis next year due to the fighting in July. FAO says if the country is not stable by then, agricultural production will continue to deteriorate. Waki Simon Wudu reports for VOA from Juba.
The FAO's latest report released last week says ongoing insecurity across parts of the country is devastating agricultural activities. Saj Tissot, the FAO country representative in South Sudan, says new food growing areas have become insecure after July's fighting, which forced many farmers to flee their villages and seek refuge in neighboring countries. Tissot says the Equatorial region in particular, which used to produce a large portion of food for the country, has been severely impacted by the conflict.
It's unfortunate because it's an important area for agriculture. Farmers are not anymore on duty, so a lot of farmers have crossed the border to Uganda. There was more than 100 dozen people in refugees camp in Uganda, and many of them are coming from this area.
Tissot says renewed fighting in Juba and other parts of the country also forced many citizens to leave the country. According to the United Nations Refugee Agency, UNHCR, at least 100,000 South Sudanese have fled to Uganda over the last 2 months because of the renewed conflict. Tissot says the ongoing insecurity is restricting farmers to bring their harvest to market. He says the risk of famine is real for thousands of people. He says the renewed fighting and the deepening economic crisis indicated that food security in urban and rural populations will likely worsen to unprecedented levels next year. He says many people in the former Central Equatoria state are suffering.
Due to the disturbance and the security problem, but not only, so due to the high inflation in the country, we speak about people in the northern part of the country, in particular in North Bat and Gazal area, have real problem to find food at an acceptable price.
Even before the fighting erupted in July, nearly 5 million people were severely food insecure, according to aid agencies. Tissot says unless peace and stability return and aid agencies ramp up funding to boost the farming, tens of thousands of South Sudanese will go hungry in 2017. For VOA News, I am Wake Simon Wudu in Juba.
You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, we look at how bed nets are helping families in Torit.
For in-depth news and analysis on events in South Sudan, tune in to South Sudan in Focus, Monday through Friday from 1630 to 1700 UTC. We are also on the web at voanews.com/South Sudan or download our podcast on iTunes. That's South Sudan in Focus on VOA Africa.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
if you run for political office, what would be your motto or slogan and why?
My slogan would be learning is better than silver and gold, because education is the key to success.
Being an African, and I know the motive and intention of Africans, I will use the motto, come and walk with me. Because I cannot do the work all by myself. It takes two to accomplish a mission.
Women empowerment, because I would like women to be empowered in political society. More for the men to know that women can do more than what they can do.
Motto will be for the people and nothing else. Because I believe as a politician, you're supposed to work for people, you're supposed to help people.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. It's time for our Tuesday health segment. Today we are talking about malaria prevention. Health officials in Imatong State are distributing hundreds of thousands of treated bed nets to residents in Torit town to protect families from malaria. Doctors and nurses at Torit Civil Hospital say there is a steady decline in cases of malaria in the past 3 months. Dimo Silva Aurelio reports for VOA from Torit.
Health officials say efforts to fight the killer disease should continue in Turit, where a number of children are recovering from malaria in the pediatric wards at Turit State Hospital. Some of these children have been at the ward for more than 7 days. Alicia Emilio is attending to her 7-year-old baby who is being treated for malaria. Speaking in colloquial Arabic, she says her baby was diagnosed with malaria and pneumonia.
I brought twice this year for malaria, and today they also got pneumonia. I have spent a lot of money, especially at the clinic. Sometimes you pay 500 SSP just to treat malaria. There is a mosquito bed net, but it's too old to prevent mosquitoes.
Doctors at Turit State Hospital say the number of children admitted with malaria treatment has reduced in the past 3 months. The director of Turit Hospital says residents should use treated mosquito bed nets to protect families from malaria. Dr. John Isaac says protection is better than cure.
The community should make sure they sleep under mosquito nets. This is very important because malaria, you get it from a bite of mosquito, female mosquito Anopheles. It's this mosquito that transmits the parasite to the person. One more thing is to clean their surrounding, to make channels, dig channels, so that water don't stay in one place. In our statistics, is the first is at the top. I mean to say, most of our patients who come to us in the hospital are cases of malaria. The group that are most vulnerable, like, you know, children under 5 and pregnant mothers.
Isaac says more efforts should be exerted in creating awareness about how to prevent the spread of malaria.
According to statistics, for those who come to us with uncomplicated malaria, those who are at the age of 5 and above, in the months of May, we have seen 861 cases. In June, it reduces a little bit to 630, and in July, it came to 618.
He says malaria has been one of the major causes of deaths among children at the hospital in the past 3 months.
In children, we have a number of deaths, but in adults, the number is very small. It's actually because of late coming that these children passed. But when they come early, we usually manage them, and they get well and discharged, they go home. The problem is when they come late with severe malaria, the chances of me saving them is always very small.
State health officials in Turit send out dozens of youths to distribute treated mosquito bed nets to residential areas. Ihore Rose is a mother to two. She was among the hundreds who turned up today to receive the treated bed nets. Rose says mosquito nets can help families save money they spend on buying drugs to treat their loved one who are suffering from malaria.
Me now, I'm very happy. I have got a new mosquito net because the one I was having, it got torn, and every time when I want to use it at night, the mosquito will enter in. As now I have got this new one, I think it will go and help me use it. I will enjoy it with my children.
Marco Romo received one treated mosquito bed net. He says he has had sleepless nights because of mosquito bites. Speaking in colloquial Arabic, he says he can now afford a deep sleep once more.
I have worked for long looking for this. Now all my legs have problem because of mosquito bite. The one I have got will help me have a nice sleep.
Fred O'Reilly, who works with the State Health Ministry, is in charge of the bed nets distribution. He says the state plans to distribute mosquito nets to 30,000 households in Turit town. Already says the distribution exercise will continue for nearly a month, covering all counties of Imatong State.
The first time was actually happened in 2013, and then this year also we have repeated to give them. What is there is that to use mosquito nets correctly, not for other purposes.
Well, Tim Simon, also who works with the health ministry, is helping to distribute the nets. He says the nets are not enough for every individual family member. Simon says some families will have to share the nets.
If you are 9 at home, we shall give you 3 nets. And if you are supposed to be 5, we shall give you 2. If you are 7, we shall give you 3.
The international NGO Health Net and the UN Children's Agency, UNICEF, provided the bed nets for families in former Eastern Equatoria State. For VOA News, I am Dimo Silva Aurelio in Turit.
From Turit, we move to Washington. After Democratic presidential nominee Hillary Clinton stumbled while getting into a car, the world started talking about Clinton's health. Clinton has been diagnosed with pneumonia and is being treated with antibiotics. VOA's Carol Pearson has more from Washington.
Pneumonia is a common and sometimes lethal lung infection. Dr. Matthew Schreiber specializes in lung disease at MedStar Washington Hospital.
It can happen from any number of organisms, bacterial pneumonia or viral pneumonia.
Hillary Clinton's doctor confirmed the diagnosis of pneumonia and prescribed antibiotics that are only used for bacterial pneumonia.
Bacterial pneumonia, we have more options to treat. So in some ways, you could make an argument that it's our advantage when it's a bacterial pneumonia. Viral pneumonia, you've all heard of the flu. The flu is an incredibly common infectious process that causes a pneumonia. And truth be told, we don't have many options on how to treat that.
Bed rest, fluids, and medication to lower a fever are recommended for any type of pneumonia. Pneumonia is the leading cause of death worldwide for children under the age of 5, according to the World Health Organization. In the U.S., it sends about 1 million adults to the hospital every year.
The severity of it really depends on how that infection has influenced that person's lungs and how that person's body is reacting to it.
People who already have a lung disease have a greater risk for developing a serious case of pneumonia, and older adults are more at risk than younger adults. Pneumonia is contagious. When people sneeze, they send air droplets of bacteria or viruses that others can breathe in. There are vaccines that can prevent some types of bacterial pneumonia. So can hand washing. But Dr. Schreiber says anyone can get it.
There's no vitamin or pill that you can take to prevent it, and you want to have yourself in the best physical state to handle an infection if it comes up. So being active, staying healthy, eating well are all good measures to give your body a reserve to handle an infection.
Common symptoms include cough, fever, feeling tired, and chest pain that gets worse when coughing. Schreiber says the best way to prevent pneumonia from becoming serious is to see a doctor when the symptoms first appear. Carol Pearson, VOA News, Washington.
We now turn to Zimbabwe, where a human rights report says the government is giving food aid to its supporters and denying government opponents from receiving the same food aid. A coalition of aid groups has voiced concern about the report, while the government has denied the allegations, as we hear from Sebastian Mwofu in Harare.
Last week, the Zimbabwe Human Rights Commission said it found evidence of political bias in the distribution of relief aid by the government. Areas that supported the ruling ZANU-PF party were getting food, it said, while areas that support opposition parties were not. The Minister of Social Welfare denied the allegations Monday as, quote, unsubstantiated and seemingly malicious, unquote. It said the charges denigrate a program that has the, quote, keen interest, unquote, of President Robert Mugabe. During the weekend, the 92-year-old leader weighed in on the issue.
The information which some stupid people and stupid spokesmen of is it human rights have put out to say grain is being distributed along party lines is completely false, absolutely false.
He added that Human Rights Commission Chairman Elisto Mugwadi had been influenced by Western countries who he said sponsor the commission. Early this year, Zimbabwe made a plea for assistance to feed more than 4 million people, nearly a third of the population, after a severe drought reduced the harvest. Oxfam's director in Zimbabwe, Machinda Marongwe, says his aid agents, quote, was deeply concerned, unquote, with the Zimbabwe Human Rights Commission findings. He called for aid to be distributed according to principles of humanity, neutrality, and impartiality. A coalition of more than 20 NGOs said it welcomed the, quote, bold and timely intervention, unquote, by the Human Rights Commission and called on the government to refrain from manipulating food aid as a way of gaining political support before Zimbabwe's next elections in 2018. Sebastian Mofu for VOA News, Harare.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Here is a recap of today's top stories with South Sudan in Focus editor Carol Van Dam.
Thanks, John. President Salva Kiir's spokesman dismissed an Enough Project report accusing President Kiir and Riek Machar of illegally enriching themselves and their families as most South Sudanese don't have enough food. Atene Wekatene calls the report baseless and says it's intended to tarnish the image of President Kiir. A two-year probe by the Century also found that former First Vice President Machar owns multi-million dollar properties, drives luxury cars, and stays at expensive hotels. His spokesman also denies the findings. Atene also called rubbish reports that President Kiir used state resources to provide luxurious lifestyles for his family members. Atene says lawyers will examine the report and possibly sue for damages in the U.S. court system. Machar spokesman James Gaudet denies that Machar either owns a house in Nairobi or Addis Ababa, as stated in the report. Authorities in Lanya County are calling on aid agencies to provide humanitarian aid to thousands of families trapped in remote villages after recent fighting between government forces and an unknown armed group. Lanya County Commissioner Augusto Curie says more than 60,000 people, including 40 children, have reportedly died of starvation and poor living conditions in the past 2 months. Curie says at least 30,000 civilians have been displaced after recent fighting in the county. He says South Sudan Army soldiers and unknown armed men looted food stores and markets during that fighting. Kiri says hundreds of families have sought refuge in the bush and are now surviving on wild fruits. He says both the government and aid agencies are unable to provide services due to the ongoing insecurity. Schools in the area remain closed. Kiri says residents are dying due to diseases like malaria because they don't have access to health care. And finally, the UN's Food and Agriculture Organization warns that South Sudan's food crisis will deepen next year due to recent fighting. The FAO says if the country's economy and politics don't stabilize soon, which would allow farming to continue, food security is going to deteriorate even faster. The FAO says ongoing insecurity across several parts of the nation is devastating agricultural activities. FAO country representative in South Sudan, Sergei Tissot, says fertile food-growing areas have become insecure after fighting that broke out in the nation's capital, which caused farmers to flee their villages and seek refuge in neighboring countries. Tissot says the Equatoria region, which used to provide a large portion of food for the country, has been severely impacted by the armed conflict. He says renewed fighting in Juba and other parts of the country also forced many citizens to leave. And that's a look at some of today's top stories. I'm Carol Van Dam.
That's our show for this Tuesday. We now leave you with the song Ting Ran Dit by M.A. Stars.
Yachi Ben Ben, Monchithio Kutinkithiak, Ake Kila Romlor, Yang Arret Gide, Emojetik, Palka Weeping Kupianka, M.A. Stars.
We have been listening to M.A. Stars with the song Ting Ran Dit. I am John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for listening, and we hope you can join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Okay, come and number two. You can pretend nobody, but you'll be number two.